You know, I don't know about you, but on a day like today, when the focal point, the center of our time should be Jesus, it's hard not to just be focused on the building, right? I mean, that's the way it is for me. And so it's okay to be honest about that. And then, of course, what I did this past week is I put a list together of things that I'm thankful for to God. And then when I remind myself of the things that I'm thankful for to God, that draws my heart up to Him to give Him praise. And so what I thought I'd do is I'm just going to read through a list of things that I had prepared that I am thankful for as a result of this journey that we've been on called Reaching Beyond and the construction of these facilities. And my hope is that your heart will resonate with some of the things that I'm going to mention here. And then what we'll do is we'll wrap it up in prayer. But like I say, if you could join me, if you will, as I read these things of thanks, see if God would stir in your heart an appreciation for Him for these things. And so I'm just going to read through them. So things to be thankful for mercy, that God called us into this church family through the work of our Savior, Jesus Christ, for His enduring and faithful love that constantly calls us back home to Him and to one another, for the opportunity to be a part of the work of God here in Taylor County and beyond, for His provision in providing us a ministry space to serve and to be served, for the many FBCers, even those who have moved away and aren't here to celebrate this day with us, who played a part in this long journey that got us to this moment. You know, there's a lot of our brothers and sisters who they helped us along the way, but then they got called and moved on to other places in Wisconsin or other parts of the United States, and they played a key role, and I'm thankful to God for them. For the property that was donated to us so we could have such a wonderful location in town. For the design team who worked so hard to prayerfully imagine the space we might need that eventually turned into the building that we're now occupying. For the Reaching Beyond campaign team and the volunteers who asked God's help to craft a plan to talk to every FBC family and invite them into this journey. For the Reaching Beyond building team who gave so much during the construction of this building and to make sure the vision became a reality on time and on budget. I want to give it a special thanks to Bill Hall, who has so dedicated himself this past year to lead us through this process. Can we just give Bill a hand clap for all the work that he's done? So he's back there. Thank you, Bill. Bill said he did not want the floor this morning, so that's okay. For the many FBCers who responded to the calls for volunteers, many of them in the areas of their expertise, without which we would have spent many more dollars on this building. I'm thankful to God for our contractors. I'm thankful to God for Bozen and for the work that they put in and for the many, many subcontractors that worked with them. You know, when I came here in the facilities and I'd see this building buzzing with workers, I could tell they cared about the work they were doing. They cared about doing a good job, and I am thankful to God for that. I'm also thankful for God's safety during this project where we avoided injury. I'm thankful for God's Holy Spirit bringing God's truth and presence to us throughout this journey. I'm thankful to God, God the Son, our Savior and Lord, by whom and to whom are all things. And I'm thankful for our Father God, to whom all things will be given one day by His Son, so that He may be our all in all. So God has been good, and we pray that this space would be used for His purposes. And so would you join with me in a prayer of dedication, if you will, as we turn to the Lord's Word here shortly. So Father, we thank You for the way You have worked in us and through us. And God, I am amazed at Your mercy. More so, God, for the fact that You would send Your Son Jesus to die for sinners like me. and for like my brothers and sisters. Father, we are unworthy, but you, in your great love for us, pay the ultimate price, pay the consequence of our sin, so that we could have a renewed relationship with you. Thank you. And God, we built this building by your strength, by your power, by your might, so that more people could hear about what you have done for this world through Jesus. May that happen. God, may that take place in our neighborhoods and beyond. And so, God, we dedicate this place to you. This is yours. You own it. We are yours. You own us. And we thank you, God, that you are good and benevolent in all of your acts. And so, Lord, now serve our souls well and serve the souls of many who will come into this place. God, help us see your grace now in your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As I shared with you at the start of the service, you know, we had been thinking about and planning and preparing for this new space for over 10 years. This has been in the works a long time. But in a way, it took on new life and new seriousness when we started raising money for this project. For years and years, this building felt like only a dream. It felt like only an idea in our brains. It got real when we got a price tag, right? It got real when we discovered that this new facility was going to cost close to $4.8 million. You talk about a dream. I'm talking about fairy tale status now, right? And I use the word dream to describe how for the longest time this new building was so abstract. It was mostly in our minds. It was mostly in our prayers. We would draw little pictures, right? We would talk about the what ifs. But dream is the wrong word in that this new building was never a wish. It was never about personal or communal aspiration. Okay, this building wasn't a dream like little boys dream of playing in the World Series or little girls dream about becoming the president of the United States. It was never a dream in that way. No, this building was a calling. This building was a step of obedience for us. I remember very vividly having conversations in board meetings and conversations in church meetings about our calling. Do we believe that our limited space is hindering our ability to minister to more people in Taylor County? And do we believe that God is calling us to do as much as we can to remove those barriers, those obstacles from people participating in the ministry that we're having? And do we believe that God is calling us to make great sacrifices so that more people can hear about his great love for them in Jesus Christ? And we agreed on that calling together, First Baptist. Do you remember those conversations? Do you remember you saying yes? Do you remember you voting? Do you remember you starting our Reaching Beyond campaign? Friends, it was about obedience to the call and mission of God in Taylor County. And so we had three goals when we started Reaching Beyond. And I want to remind you of them today. And if you weren't around back in 2014, 2015, and you're going to be hearing these goals for the first time, I'm thankful for that. So here are the three goals that we had for Reaching Beyond. That FBCers would contribute $3.5 million in 36 months. That all FBCers would participate together in this campaign and stay united in reaching unsaved people in Taylor County and beyond. That the faith of FBCers would grow in God as our provider for this campaign and beyond through his word and sacrificial giving, resulting in permanent life change. And today I just want to briefly remind you of why we had these goals, how it worked, and then celebrate how God has helped us experience and achieve these goals and still experience them today. The first goal was about raising $3.5 million. I remember how we came up with this goal. We took the estimated cost of the building, and then we just simply subtracted. We subtracted the amount of money we thought we would have in our savings by the time we had to pay for the building, and then we also then subtracted the the value, the anticipated value of the building that we were going to sell. That was when we were going to sell it. Of course, that didn't happen, did it? And then that number was $3.5 million. And I can tell you, when I remember looking at that number, it looked enormous. You know? Is that the way it looked to you? I thought, how in the world could our church contribute and raise $3.5 million? And during that time, we also debated hiring a consultant. The "we" I'm talking about is the board at this point. The board debated about hiring a consultant. There are people, there are companies all across America who specifically work with churches to help them raise money for projects like ours. And we were strongly encouraged by many people. Most people said, you got to hire a consultant. You got to make sure you do that. And there was something really attractive about that. I mean, we've never done this before. They're professionals. They must know what they're doing. And we kept on talking, and we kept on debating. As we did that, we ran into a couple of problems. Number one, they come with a pretty hefty fee. It would cost us a lot of money to hire somebody to get that kind of help. And here we're trying to raise money. The second problem, and maybe even more importantly, is it just didn't feel like us. You know, it just didn't sit right in our spirit. And we looked at each other and we thought, hasn't God equipped us well enough to look at our FBC brothers and sisters in the eyes and share the vision with them? Hasn't God equipped us well enough to come up with the plan, to come up with a communication strategy, to think through how to do this well? And so, friends, we decided to do it ourselves. I mean, we obviously prayed. We obviously asked God for help. We did a lot of research. We talked to a lot of different people. But at the end of the day, we said, let's do this together. And then on May 3rd, the FBC family got together for that Commitment Sunday luncheon, right, at the high school. Remember you being there, if you were there? Do you remember that time? And that afternoon, FBCers pledged almost $2.8 million to this project. Now, friends, just to give you some perspective on that amount pledged, most of these experts in church capital campaign world, they tell churches that they could expect anywhere between 1.5 to 4 times the amount they receive in an annual basis for their operating budget. So they said, you can expect in donations about 1.5 to 4 times as much as you get on a yearly basis just for your operating. All right? If you can get 2.5 times the amount of your annual budget, you're doing pretty well. Friends, $2.8 million is over 6 times our annual operating budget at that time. We blew past that, the most optimistic projections. I have pastor friends in churches 2 times our size, some of them 3 times our size. They tell me they don't think they can raise $2.8 million. And it reminds me of that verse that we read earlier. Why don't you grab a Bible? Let's open our Bibles this morning. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. We brought the Pew Bibles with us, and so they're in racks. We have racks underneath the chairs, and so you can grab a Bible from a rack if you don't have a Bible with you. I just want to read for you again. I want us to look at it together. Ephesians chapter 3, 20 and 21. Verse 20, Paul says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Now I want you to notice just a few things about this verse. Notice how it's a call to worship. It's a call to worship. We see that in verse 21. To him be the glory. To who? Well, that's verse 20. To the one. To the one who's able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power that work of his work within us. To him be glory. Then notice what it says there in verse 21. In the church. That's in us. May glory and praise be to God in us, from us to him for what he has done. And do you see here how Paul is saying that the reason for praise, the reason for glory, is that God can do far more abundantly than we could ask or think. And friends, God did it here. God did it here among us. In a minute, I'm going to share with you how God did it. But for now, friends, just simply rejoice that God has provided the means for us to occupy new space so that we can, remember the goal, so we can continue to share the good news of Jesus Christ to more people. That's the goal. So that's the first one. God's been at work. Our second goal reads this way, that all FBCers would participate together in this campaign and stay united in reaching unsaved people in Taylor County and beyond. In your Bibles, just keep them open. Flip just a few pages further to Colossians chapter 3. All you have to do is go a few more pages to Colossians chapter 3. I want to read for you verse 15. This was a key verse in our sermon series back in 2015. And Colossians 3:15 says this, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body." This peace of Christ that Paul is talking about is not some feeling of inner peace like you get maybe when you feel like you've made the right decision in the college of your choice or in the decision to buy the right house. You know, sometimes we'll have a sense of peace. That's not the peace that Paul is talking about here. The peace that he's talking about is the kind of peace that we can have with one another. And the reason why we can have strong confidence in that is because the entire paragraph in this section is all about how the body of Jesus Christ is being called to live in harmony and unity with one another. And so let me just point out a few of those things. Look at verse 12. Have, he says, compassion. Have kindness to one another. Have patience with one another. Look at verse 13. Bear with one another. And if anyone has complaints, forgive each other. Look at verse 14. He says, put on love above all things. And of course, when we have love for one another, we will be patient and kind and compassionate and forgiving one another. And so it's pretty obvious when you look at this paragraph that Paul is concerning himself with the peace that this church has with one another. And if all those commands weren't enough, he says in our key verse 15, let that peace govern your heart. Let that peace reign supreme in your life together. Make unity with one another a principal desire of your heart. And friends, I'm so thankful and glad for how God has worked unity and peace into our church family. That goal of all of us participating together, just somehow, would we pray together? Would we encourage each other? Would we give together? However God is calling us, that's what we said over 3 years ago. However God is calling you, can we participate together, however that might be? And then can we stay united? Friends, the list of things that we could have fought about is endless. We haven't been fighting over such things. We've had remarkable cooperation and unity. And that only makes sense because we're letting the peace of Christ rule our hearts. Friends, you have said, as a body, you have said, staying united, living harmoniously, reaching out to more people with the love of God found in Jesus Christ is more important than me getting my way. Is more important than me being heard. Is more important than everybody moving at my pace. Is more important than what I think is best. And friends, that's a miracle. That is a miracle of God. Many, many churches fight over much smaller issues than this process and journey. As I looked around last Sunday in our move, right? So many people bumping into each other, getting into each other's way, maybe misunderstanding here, miscommunication there, yet still working together with a common purpose. That's the gift. That's a gift of God. The final goal that we had was this, that the faith of FBCers would grow in God as our provider for this campaign and beyond through his word and sacrificial giving, resulting in permanent life change. This was a special goal for me personally, because as great and as miraculous as, say, this building being constructed and it being funded, and as important it is, of course, for us to stay united, there was something inside of me that said, you know, if we don't experience a lasting change through this process, I feel like we're going to be missing out on all that God wants to accomplish in us. Like if something doesn't last in me and in us, then we're coming up a little short of what God would want to accomplish. And the goal states that we believe that this life change would happen through the word and through our sacrifices. And so we taught God's word and we gave. And I guess we won't really know if life change has happened until we get some distance, you know, from the project. It's possible that we could all go back in a year or two kind of to the same routines and same habits that we had before this project began. I mean, that's possible. But you know, my hope and prayer is that we won't. And friends, honestly, I'm feeling optimistic that we won't. I believe that a new way of trust, a new commitment to sacrifice is developed and developing in our church family. I remember a couple of months ago on a Thursday morning with the men, you know, we were studying God's word on a Thursday morning Bible study, and the subject of giving came up. And so we're just talking about giving, and reaching beyond came up then in that discussion. And I was so encouraged, you know, as I was listening to these men share about how God was using this process, this journey, to change them. And guys who don't always talk, they started sharing about what God was doing in their families as a result of the giving that God called them to in this project. And as I listened, I was reminded of this third goal. And I thought, hey, it's happening. Like it's really working. Like God's doing it. He's bringing about that life change that we were praying for and hoping for. And Lord willing, we're going to continue that years from this project, where we're going to see that the sacrifices that God is calling us to do for the kingdom, they're worth it, my good brothers and sisters. Now, if I could just encourage you and challenge you, maybe you're sitting there scratching your head thinking, well, but you know what? It really hasn't worked that way for me, I guess. You know, I've given, but I haven't really experienced this life change that you keep talking about. Well, let me just ask you a question. Was your giving a sacrifice? See, one of the things that we learned in 2015 is that God calls us to give in proportion to what he has given to us. See, that's why we all gave differing amounts, right? That's why we didn't have any list. If you're new here and you're like just kind of eavesdropping, just kind of getting a feel for our church, we're so glad that you're here. Let me tell you a few things. We built this building for you. We built the building so that more people could come and be a part of our church family and that they could be changed by the work and power of God. We did not build this building hoping and thinking that you could be a part of funding it. So you need to know that. We went into this project convicted and intent on trusting God to work in us in such a way that we could, through God's help, provide the funds so that this building could be built so we could minister to you and your families and your neighborhood. We do not want you here simply to give to this project. I want you to know that. It's very important to us. Because when we started this back in 2015, we believed what God's word said, that we are to give differing amounts. That's why there was no set standard. There was no, everybody's got to give so much. Nope, it's you give how God is calling you to give. And here's what God's word says we should be thinking about, guiding us. We should all be giving in proportion to what he has given to us. All right. And here's something that I learned about my own giving. When I give small amounts, that require no sacrifice. It's not that that's bad. It's just that not, that doesn't change me. That kind of giving doesn't change me. You know, $10 here, $50 there. When it doesn't, it's not a sacrifice. That doesn't do anything in me. Or even on a yearly basis, $3,000 a year, $4,000 a year. That doesn't do anything in me because it's not a sacrifice. It's good. Causes can use that kind of money, but it's not a sacrifice. It doesn't cause me to trust in God. I don't have to trust God for anything. When I don't give sacrificially, I can still keep my earthly plans. I can still keep doing the things that I want to do. But what happened during the Reaching Beyond is that my wife and I, Corby and I, that we gave more than we had ever given before. We had to change plans to give. We had to delay projects to give. We had to say no to things that we were hoping to say yes to things. And when we gave like that, then things changed. Things changed on the inside. Now, the Bible does not say that we should give recklessly or carelessly. But God does say that we are to give in faith, giving sacrificially. And friends, when we do that, God gives us a front row seat to his miracle-working power in us. That's what happens. Friends, the greatest miracles during the Reaching Beyond has not been about bricks and mortar. It has not been about bank accounts. It has been about the human heart. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ turning sinners into saints and growing us, followers of Jesus Christ, so that we are more devoted to him. That's been the work of God. And it's been a sight to behold. And he's not done. Let's keep working and praying and hoping that we stay open to that work in us and through us.